Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Should we be cheering or criticizing the Charlie Kirk Memorial? This is Wretched Radio. It was unlike anything I have ever witnessed on national television. Think back to the funeral of a president, a good one, a bad one, otherwise. How much time was dedicated on national TV to talking about Jesus Christ? And I'm not talking about in generalities. I'm talking about with specificity, using words like sin, repentance, forgiveness. When was the last time you saw a national event where Jesus Christ was in the spotlight for hours up until the last speaker? I mean, he was just central to all of it. Yeah, there was political talk, and there were accolades for Charlie's boldness and his interaction with students. No, there was that, but there was so much emphasis on Jesus Christ and what motivated him to do what he did. There was talk about the importance of marriage, having children, free speech, free religion. They're kind of intertwined. It was unlike anything that I have ever seen. That's what Tucker Carlson said when he walked out to the platform. This is extraordinary. I've never seen anything like this. The question before us, especially for those of us who have the spiritual gift of hypercriticism, should we be like celebrating that? Should we be celebrating it with some reservations? Or should we just reject the whole thing because not everything was pristine? Because some speeches, they were excellent. I'm looking at you, Frank Turek. Others, you know, pretty good. Some were like kind of, yeah, you really don't have a clue. But nobody uttered heresy. Nobody. All of them heralded the name of Jesus Christ. And with the exception of one, it was about Jesus Christ. Not about religion or Christianity or his faith. I'm telling you, with the exception of probably like most things on Netflix, Jesus' name was used more at this event than anything I've ever seen. And unlike Netflix, it was used rightly and positively. And that should excite us. But nevertheless, we are Bereans. Now, we don't want to be like, yeah, hey, he could have used that word and God could have used that. So we don't want to be hypercritical. We don't want to be censorious, but we do want to be good Bereans. Not all messages were perfect. It was an ecumenical affair. There were Roman Catholics like J.D. Vance, Secretary Kennedy. I think I would have to assume he's Catholic. All the way over to evangelicals like Frank Turk. So you've got the issue of ecumenism on a platform without making any distinctions between true and false. Should that cause us, therefore, to look at the Charlie Kirk event and go, so let's work through it, shall we? I'm going to share with you what I think were the highlights of all of the different speeches. And the ones that really focused on Jesus, because again, there were speeches that were dedicated to other things, the political side of Charlie Kirk. But I'm telling you, if you missed this event, you missed something extraordinary. And it's also an event I suspect that people will be using rightly and wrongly for a long time to forward their understanding of church-state relationships. What is the role of the Christian in government, et cetera? When do we speak out? When do we resist, et cetera? Nevertheless, right now, let's take a look and a listen to what happened at this extraordinary event. And in case you're thinking, dude, why do you need to do this? Can't you just be happy Jesus' name was honored? And the answer is always, it's got to be a cautious yes. We want that. And you say, Philippians 1. Hey, that says we should just rejoice, no matter really what is said, as long as Jesus is being heralded. But to help us understand those verses, I want to read the verse, but I'm going to slip in one word, a clarifying word, rightly. Without the word rightly, the statement from Paul would say that, hey, theology doesn't matter. Accuracy is irrelevant. So here's Philippians 1. Paul rejoiced that Christ was preached, here's the word, rightly. Rightly. He would not rejoice if people were preaching Christ wrongly. The text in Philippians 1 is addressing motives and not theological precision or accuracy. If Paul weren't concerned about content, then all of his warnings about false teaching and being bereaved, that it would be null and void. So verse 15, some to be sure are preaching Christ rightly, even if from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it rightly out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ rightly out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed rightly, and in this I rejoice. I have to tell you this, the Charlie Kirk event for me was like, wow, never seen anything like it. Jesus was extolled. His name wasn't used as a four-letter filth word. He was the center of the entire event. And I love that because I why wouldn't we love that? We would rejoice at that as long as it was being proclaimed rightly. So with that as our backdrop, let's take a look at the good, the bad, the tone deaf, and then I will share with you what I think about the event and how my heart responds to it. So first one up would be the pastor, the one that Charlie Kirk said, this guy, he's my pastor. He was very early in the day. Let's see how he did.
You're going to hear of what Charlie did, but I'm here today to tell you the why in what he did. The why brought him the courage. The why brought him the wisdom and the strength. The why is the one that Charlie wanted to welcome as the guest of honor. The guest of honor, his resume is long. He's the King of Glory. He's the Prince of Peace.
Awesome.
He's the Savior of the world. He's the living God. He's the God of all mercy and grace. The total embodiment of love. The total embodiment of truth. And he's here today to call his children back to him.
Now, I could inject, it would have been nice to hear about his righteousness and his justice. And how he is so set against evil. I think that would have been helpful, but would I hack on do you hear the way he's extolling Jesus Christ? Wow. Amazing.
From the thin veil of heaven, Charlie declares to all earthly powers and principalities who will gather here, they have come into the presence of the God of all creation. Charlie wanted his Savior to be the guest of honor. He wanted all of you to receive this gift from him, the why and what he did. Charlie was never afraid because he knew his life was secure in the hand of God. Jesus left the glory of heaven's throne for the humiliation of an earthly cross.
That's awesome. That's all. That's awesome.
He was fully tempted, yet was without sin.
Awesome.
For those of you who struggle with the word sin, it's real simple. It's an archer's term. Where the bullseye is and where the arrow lands, that's called the sin distance, how far you've fallen from perfection. And there are none righteous, no, not one. We've all missed the mark, the bullseye.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Now, if the fellow had time, because I know Charlie was a fan of Living Waters, he may have opened up the law. So, you know, is this perfect? No, but come on.
And we try to get to God by our efforts, but there is no effort that will bring us back into the presence of a righteous God. You see, the wages of sin is death. Charlie knew this, and at an early age, he entrusted his life to the Savior of the world. Jesus came to this earth, was tempted in all ways, yet was without sin, was crucified upon a cross. His blood was poured out because blood must be shed for the remission of sins.
Okay. This fellow is going to do, if you will, a bit of an altar call, which, you know, it's not a sin, certainly not my style, but shouldn't we be rejoicing at this?
And his death upon that cross was sufficient for all the world's sins, but only efficient for those who, like Charlie, would receive him as their Savior.
Could I knit and could I pick? I'm not even sure I would or should. I think when it comes to this presentation that was given by the man who Charlie said was his pastor, I got to tell you, even though with the altar call thing, I think we should be rejoicing. This is Wretched Radio.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at FortisPlus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. 6 brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether you're married, needs healing, or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at FortisPlus.org.
Know your church fathers.
Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John and the Bishop of Smyrna. He was a staunch defender of orthodoxy, combating the Gnostic heresies. Before his death as a martyr, Polycarp proclaimed, 86 years I have served Christ, and he has done me no evil. How could I curse my king who saved me?
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Rejoicing or criticizing? That is the question. This is Wretched Radio, the Charlie Kirk Memorial. It was extraordinary. Now, you can have some nits to pick, no doubt about that. For instance, I thought whoever the worship guy was, his gospel presentation was a pretty standard evangelical dog's breakfast. But even in that, the name of Jesus Christ was extolled. And I don't want to overlook false teaching about Jesus just because his name was heralded constantly at an internationally televised event. And so I want to make my way through the presentations on Jesus Christ. And I want to keep my Berean hat on while simultaneously be willing to go, That was pretty extraordinary. Next up, Frank Turek. Frank is an apologist. Frank is a friend of mine. Frank was a mentor of Charlie Kirk, and I'm going to play an extended, pretty much his whole speech. It's about 6 minutes long, and I'm going to do my best to not interrupt it because I thought it was fascinating on two levels. The lesser level would be his description of what happened on the platform, because Frank was there with Charlie. Doggy. But even more spectacular in this presentation is that the gospel was delivered clearly, forcefully, and rightly. So, Frank, well done, brother.
Erica wanted me to share with you what happened after that shot rang out on September 10th. I was standing 25 feet from my beloved friend just off his right. Why was I there? About 5 years ago, Charlie asked me if I would mentor him in the evidence for Christianity, because that's one of the things I do. Now, it's going to be difficult to mentor someone smarter than you. However, the only thing that surpassed Charlie's intellect was his humility. And so the few things I knew that he didn't, he wanted me to share with him. When that shot rang out, I took a step toward him, but his security team was on him immediately. And so Charlie, being like a son to me, I ran toward the security team and we ran to the SUV together. No father would stand back and go, no, you just take my son, take him, I'll meet you at the hospital. I got into the back of the SUV and let me tell you something. His team was amazing. When this full investigation is done, I think you're going to see that his team did everything they were supposed to do. In the car, Justin was driving. Dan was in the front with the GPS. Rick was to my left. He had Charlie's head. And Brian was at Charlie's feet. And Charlie's so big, we couldn't even shut the door. He's so tall. And I'm perched over the back seat. And while they're administering all sorts of first aid, apparently my skill, my job was to yell. I was doing a lot of yelling. And I want you to know that we did everything we could to save Charlie. But Charlie was already gone. His face was looking at mine, but he wasn't looking at me. He was looking past me right into eternity. And if it's any comfort at all, I learned later that Charlie felt no pain. He died instantly. But we had to try and bring him back. We couldn't save him. Now, I want you to know that Charlie right now is in heaven, not because he was a great husband and father, not because he saved millions of kids out of darkness on college campuses.
This is good.
Not because he changed minds and chased votes to save the country. Not because he sacrificed himself for his savior. Charlie Kirk is in heaven because his savior sacrificed himself for Charlie Kirk.
Amen, Frank. Well done.
Now look, there's only two things you can get in the afterlife. You can get justice or you can get grace. Ladies and gentlemen, does anyone in here, does anybody out there watching around the world want justice from an infinitely just being?
Excellent. No.
I don't want justice. I want grace. Well, the only way to get grace for an infinitely just being is for him to punish an innocent substitute in our place. Where can he find an innocent substitute among us? He can't. We're all fallen. So what does this infinitely just and infinitely loving God do? He adds humanity to his deity. He comes to earth. He allows the creatures that rebelled against him to torture and kill him so he could place their punishment upon himself. And then by trusting in him, every one of us can be forgiven and then given his righteousness.
Awesome, Frank.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the greatest story ever told. And it happens to be true. There's evidence for this, and Charlie knew it. Watch his videos.
Really well done.
Charlie knew that life wasn't just about money. It wasn't just about sex. It wasn't just about power. It wasn't just about prestige. He knew that the purpose of life is to know Jesus and to make him known, to make heaven crowded. Charlie's eyes were fixed on eternity. Where have your eyes been fixed? What have you been doing with your lives? What have you been doing? What are you going to do now? You know, in every evil, God brings forth some ripples of good. In this case, he's bringing a tsunami of good. Look around. You're seeing it. And if you think a martyrdom is going to stop this movement, well, we all know Charlie was inspirational. But Erica Kirk is a force of nature.
That was awesome. And we should be rejoicing that the gospel was clearly presented. That was Frank. Frank, you did good, brother. Marco Rubio, he also spoke. And my understanding about Marco Rubio is that he's kind of Protestant, kind of Roman Catholic. I'm not sure exactly where he lands these days. And whilst his presentation, I think it could have given the impression that everybody's going to heaven because of Jesus. And I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say, I don't think that was his intention. Nevertheless, overall, it's pretty good.
One of the things he wants us to take away from this, from all of this, is the following. His deep belief that we were all created, every single one of us, before the beginning of time, by the hands of the God of the universe, an all-powerful God, who loved us and created us for the purpose of living with him in eternity. But then sin entered the world and separated us from our Creator. And so God took on the form of a man and came down and lived among us. And he suffered like men. And he died like a man. But on the third day, he rose unlike any mortal man. And to prove any doubters wrong, he ate with his disciples so they could see and they touched his wounds. He didn't rise as a ghost or as a spirit, but as flesh. And then he rose to the heaven, but he promised he would return. And he will. And when he returns, because he took on that death, because he carried that cross, we were freed from the sin that separated us from him. And when he returns, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will all be together, and we are going to have a great reunion there again with Charlie and all the people we love.
Good. If Marco had said, for those who have repented and put their trust in Jesus Christ, yes, I do think that would have been tighter. But unless Marco Rubio is a universalist suggesting everybody gets to go because of Jesus, I got to tell you, my conservative critical side, so far in the Charlie Kirk Memorial, I don't know how we can't celebrate this so far, but there is more to come. This is Wretched Radio.